In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. How will I get there? Where will I park? What do I wear? Will it snow? These were some of the questions I and others were asking yesterday as we were preparing to participate in the March for Our Lives in Rockford. They were little details, but important. For my part, I planned to dress warm and be cold. I was not disappointed. Interestingly, today's gospel from Mark also begins with travel arrangements. Get a donkey, Jesus told the disciples. They were going to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, and the way they entered in as a counter procession to that of Pilate's was incredibly intentional. But first, they had to figure out how to get there. Our entry into Holy Week and the last 7 days of Jesus' life on earth begins with logistics. Mundane in a sense, yet what follows is anything but. At the arrival of Jesus, the crowds go wild. They start picking up anything they can find to wave around, pulling branches off the trees, laying out the very clothes they were wearing in his path, shouting, Hosanna, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then it's over. After a day of excitement, it gets late and they go home. But today's service doesn't stop there. In the Episcopal liturgy for Palm Sunday, we include Christ's Passion, ending this service that begins on such a high in the most somber and sobering of ways. There are times that I've wished this service could be all jubilation, wish that we could just have our parade. But it never was that. It wasn't a parade for people to wave at their politicians and enjoy the sights. It was a march, a protest. It was Jesus and his followers intentionally placing themselves at the other end of Jerusalem to stand against Pilate and all that he stood for, against the people's suffering and oppression, against death itself. And Jesus went in knowing where this path would take him. Which leads us to wonder, why? Why does this beautiful beginning have to end in death? Christianity has many answers, but they have not always been good ones. The common reading of the Bible is that Jesus died for our sins, either to pay a debt to the devil, which was the prevailing thought in the first millennium, or to pay a debt to God, which was proposed by Anselm in the 11th century. Also known as substitutionary atonement theories, these ideas suggest that God demanded Jesus to be a blood sacrifice to atone for sinful humanity. But the premise that God would need a payment and even a violent transaction to be able to love and accept God's own children does not make sense. It goes against the most foundational things we believe about God being all-powerful and the very essence of love. It goes against the idea that it is God, not us, who is steering this ship. The incarnation, or God coming to earth to live among us and be like us, as well as the passion, death, and resurrection, are not God's reaction to human sin. They are not God's way of getting out of a cosmic problem that is somehow bigger than God. As Catholic priest and theologian Richard Rohr says, these theories are based on retributive justice rather than restorative justice, which is what Jesus and the prophets taught. Rohr argues that the incarnation of God and the redemption of the world were the proactive work of God from the very beginning. We were chosen in Christ before the world was made, he says, quoting Paul. Our sin could not possibly be the motive for the incarnation. Only perfect love and divine self-revelation could inspire God to come in human form. God never merely reacts, but supremely and freely acts out of love. God loves us so much and wants us to know it so strongly that even though God knew humanity would react violently to the embodiment of love in a person, God did it anyway. We are that precious to God. But unfortunately, that's not how a lot of us experience the passion. Often in services like today or on Good Friday, we are pierced with a sense of how awful we are. So much so that God had to come and do this for us. As a result, we may leave with a greater sense of our wretchedness than our belovedness, weighted more with guilt and shame than overwhelmed by God's lavish love. And why is this? As Episcopal priest and author Robert Farrar Capon suggests, perhaps it's because it's easier to believe in a God that we are fed to rather than fed by. It's easier to believe that God would want to punish us or demand sacrifice than in a God whose greatest desire is to be in relationship. Now, all of this is not to gloss over sin or our complicity in the brokenness of this world or our need for redemption. We mess up, we hurt each other, we need to be aware of our sin because it's not part of who we are in God. If these services convict us to repent and seek forgiveness in a way that draws us closer to God and others, then that's a wonderful thing. But above all, what we need to know is how loved we are by God. Not how loved we are once we do the laundry, or eat better, or get on top of our emails, or get on top of our sin. It's how loved we are right now at this moment in time and always. This love has the power to transform everything, and God does what it takes to let us know. It's hard to comprehend God's love for us, but we can imagine it because we ourselves have loved in similar ways. We know what it's like to love our kids so much so that we would do anything for them. We know what it's like to have moments of overwhelming love for our beloveds in a way that leaves us speechless. We know what it's like to see young people speak out for the kids who will come after them because of an empathy seated in love. Though there's a bittersweetness to today, there's a place for hope and joy. Because in that procession one Sunday about 2,000 years ago, Jesus was not just marching against suffering, oppression, and death. He was marching for us. Today, I invite you to see the rest of this service and the stories enacted through the Stations of the Cross, Maundy Thursday, and Good Friday as an account of how precious we are to God. May we be moved to tears and gratitude and action out of the deepest sense of our belovedness. Amen.